So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. Let me give you a scripture. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Adam's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I want to talk to you today about the process of truth. The process of truth. Thank you, musicians. The process of truth. The Bible claims that you can be free by knowing the truth. It doesn't matter if you possess $1 million. If you don't know you possess it, it doesn't do you any good. I have read stories about people who have starved to death and had money in the bank. There's a show that I like to watch. Matter of fact, me and Rodney like to watch it. Not together because he's at his house and I'm at mine. But we like to watch this show called Alone. Anybody ever seen that show? It's a survivalist show. And last season or the season before, there was a guy who was pulled from the competition because he had lost too much weight. But he had multiple smoked fish that he had smoked and prepared, but he was rationing himself to such a level that he had lost too much weight, and they were, that's not my problem, he had lost so much weight that they pulled him from the competition, even though he had, 34 or 36 fish fillets, a big salmon that was smoked and ready to eat, but he was starving to death. Now, the truth of the matter is that many of us in the house of God are not living at the potential that God called us to live, because we might hear the truth, but we don't know the truth. See, to know the truth is a little different than just to hear the truth. Because you can hear a truth, but until you receive that truth and understand that truth and realize that truth, then that truth is doing you no good. So the process of truth becomes very important. That's the word. Becomes very important. And there is no temptation, pressure given to men, but that God provides a way to bear up under it, or a way out. So we need to understand some things about truth, though. How about this? Truth is seldom celebrated at first. When you first hear the truth, it is usually not celebrated. Matter of fact, truth is most often resisted at first. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to have a little 2-year-old in my home, and it's been a while since we've had a 2-year-old in my home. And so this kid was playing with my little dog named Robbie. Robbie's a very playful dog. And he would want to run around the living room and wanted Robbie to chase him. Now, what you got to understand is that the father had been trying to get this kid to sleep for an hour and a half. They stayed in the bedroom trying to get this kid to take a nap for like an hour and 45 minutes. And the only person who got a nap was the dad. How many's ever done that before? You went to put your kids to sleep and you went to sleep, but the kid didn't. And so they're coming out, and so this kid was getting a little frustrated. He said, Robbie, my dog, Robbie, chase me. Come, Robbie. And Robbie's like, dude, I'm tired. Robbie, come. some. He said, I ain't going nowhere, Jack. I'm tired. And then I would say, Robbie, come. He'd come over there and get in my lap. I'm telling you, bro, I ain't going nowhere. This kid done wore me out. And then so he says, somebody make Robbie play with me. I said, Robbie's tired, buddy. No, he says, I'm tired. I said, but Robbie's sleepy. No, I'm sleepy and I'm tired. That was truth. But he was resistant to the truth, right? Like so many of us Christians, we are resistant to the truth of God's word. We know the truth, but we don't apply the truth, so therefore we are not set free or made freed because of that truth. Before truth liberates, it often irritates, frustrates, and even infuriates. Because sometimes when you find out the truth, you are irritated by it, frustrated by it, or infuriated by it. Now, if you've been coming to our church any length of time, if you've been through Focus Track, you know that the vision of our church, we want to be a church where people can find focus for living. How many know that? All right, you should know that. We want to be a church where you can find focus for living. Let me tell you where that truth came from. There's a man that I read a lot of his material, and I loved all of his material, but he said this word one time that I read, and I go, I don't believe that. He said, all failure is because of broken focus. I go, that's stupid. That ain't truth. It irritated me. Then it frustrated me. It infuriated me. Well, nah, people fail because they fail. People fail because they tried one thing and it didn't work. And then I began to understand it. And which became the mission and vision of our church. That only reason why people fail is because of broken focus. Well, Pastor, I failed. Well, but still, if you don't give up, you still haven't failed. You just learned a new way that it didn't work. You got to learn the right way that it works. See, you get your focus off of God and on something else. You get your focus on the event instead of the journey. You got to keep your focus right. So the reason seems to be that people learn, though that seems that why people resist the truth is because they learn to identify with their struggle. Oh, it's going to get tight before it gets loose. Intensity or longevity lends to identity. What do you mean? If you've been in an intense struggle for a long period of time, you begin to identify with what you're going through. And you begin, it's the Stockholm syndrome. You begin to identify with where you are and your struggle becomes your identity if you let it. But that's not what God has called us to do. If the struggle is intense or prolonged, people identify with the struggle. The phenomenon is old as human struggle. It's similar to the Stockholm syndrome after a 1972 bank robbery in Stockholm, Sweden, where bank employees held hostage for 6 days, ultimately bonded with their captors. In fact, the hostages resisted rescue, refused to testify against the robbers, and even raised money for their legal fund. So when someone comes along and provides truth, it is resisted. Jesus spoke of freedom, and the enslaved people said, we've never been anybody's slaves. Well, they hadn't read their own history book. They were slaves then, just didn't know it. See, some people, we are slaves and we don't even know it. We're in bondage and we don't know it. I'm not in bondage. Oh, really? Let's talk about your life. I don't drink, smoke, cuss, run around with women who do. I don't do all that. No, how about eating? I'm going to sit down right there. Because I'm not going to stay there long, I can promise you. Why? Because I like to eat. The reason I'm telling you this is so that you won't reject something just because it's irritating to you, infuriating to you, or frustrating you. Because, see, everybody wants to blame somebody for their situation. And it's easy to blame God. It's easy to blame somebody else. It's easy to blame your spouse. It's easy to blame economics. It's easy to blame the government, whatever the case is. But I need to share with you truth. And my intent today is not minimize your struggle, but magnify the God of your struggle. Let me tell you this story. A true story. A middle-aged man who was nearing retirement and feeling good about the last years of his life. He was not wealthy, but he had no debt, save just a little bit of his on his mortgage. He had never had a sick day in his career and planned to retire debt-free and enjoy the rest of his life. That's everybody's dream, right? You don't. And so one day, without warning, pain in his head exploded and the headaches of headaches came. It would not cease. He went to the doctor who put him on immediately in the hospital. He would suffer for 3 months in the hospital, enduring endless tests, treatments, and increasing pain. The virus that caused the spinal meningitis so weakened his immune system that many other ailments settled in after 3 months. He had spent all that he had and had only grown worse. Before slipping into a coma, he instructed his wife to borrow against the house and any other assets she could to pay the massive medical bills. He said while in a coma that he could hear and somehow see everything that was going on around him, even though that he could not speak or communicate. He heard the doctors talk about his failing condition. He could see his wife weep beside his bed, worried how she'd make it without him. Broke and dying, he laid withering away. After 6 months in the hospital, three of those in a coma, a priest came in to administer last rites. Unable to take communion, the priest administered extreme unction and praying for the sick to pass peacefully. He could see the priest, but he could not communicate with him. He watched as the priest exited the room through the door. As soon as he was out of sight, another priest walked in. But this one was dressed all in white and came through the wall instead of the door. The priest came to his bedside, bent down and whispered in his ear. The man was enraged by what the priest said. He was dying. He was leaving his family destitute without the necessities of life. The priest didn't care about his condition. He spoke life, not death, living, not dying, and blessings. A nurse walked in, or when the priest departed again through the wall, the man sat up, threw his legs over the edge of the bed, which had been his home for 6 months. He walked to the bathroom, cleaned up. A nurse walked in and screamed. She told him, "Get back in bed. Don't you know you're dying?" He asked her to bring him some clothes and food. He hadn't ate solid food in 6 months. She repeated her instructions. He said, "I'm not dying. The last priest you sent in told me you've got no trouble. All you need is faith in God." Now, you might not understand, or you might not know that saying. "You've got no trouble. All you need is faith in God." The man shared this story with the legendary R.W. Shambach, who made that statement his ministry motto. He would tell you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. All you need is faith in God. You don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. How many remember R.W. Shambach? Just a few of us old timers. And so, but he would say that every time that he would come on the air, "You don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God." I remember him saying that. And I go, "You don't know my trouble." But that is truth, right? You don't really have any trouble. What you need is faith in God. "Well, Pastor, if I have faith in God, does that mean that all of my trouble will leave?" No. But what it does mean is no matter what happens to you, you're going to be all right. "But Pastor, what if I die?" Hey, you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. See, today I want to drive into your heart and soul that you've got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. But Pastor, you don't know how much I'm hurt. You don't have any trouble. What you need is faith in God. You've got to understand this truth. How could Jesus say to a man broke and dying that he had no trouble? All he needed was faith in God. Here's why. Because Isaiah tells us in 55 and 8 that my thoughts are not your thoughts, that nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You cannot argue with the King of truth, which is Jesus. When he tells you you don't have any trouble, you need to begin to look around and say, I don't know what I'm in, but it ain't trouble. What I really need is faith in God. And that faith is going to take me out of the trouble that I find myself in. Here's the key. We need to think like God. For God will never think like you. God will never think like us. So we need to think like Him. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Now, I'm going to read it from the Passion. I don't even think we have this translation. Do we do? You the man. The Passion Translation. Here's what it says. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Ha ha. Now, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Ha. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Devil, you done messed up because you done brought me some trouble which has stirred up my faith that is going to cause me to triumph. Who's going to cause me to lack nothing and miss nothing because you have stirred me up. It's not if trials will come, they will. It's not if you have trouble, it's when. And many times we ask the wrong question. When something nasty comes, maybe it caused it. Maybe we caused it. Maybe someone else caused it. Maybe nobody caused it. But it's here. It's mean. It's nasty. And it's ugly. But it's here and now. And we ask why. But why is a secondary question. The primary question ought to be, what now, Lord? Instead of why, what? What, Lord? I didn't want this, didn't plan on this, but here it is. What now? For you know that when your faith is tested, what's being tested? Your faith. It stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it releases perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing or nothing lacking. Whew. It's 9:23 and I got 4 points left. Today, let me give you 4 thoughts how to deal with trouble. Number one is this. Focus. The key is focus. That is our mission statement. Where you can find focus for living. So what you focus on becomes bigger and clearer. Did you hear that? What you focus on becomes bigger and clear. What are you focusing on today? The trouble or Jesus? Your God or your situation? Focus is the center of interest or activity. Think about that. When you focus on your problem, they become the center of your interest and your activity. My God, somebody hear me. When you focus on your problem, every decision that you make is based on your problem. Every decision you make is based on your situation. Everything centers around your problems. Where can you go is determined by your problems. What you can do is determined by your problems. Life's activities become problem-based. Oh, I can't go here. I can't go there. I can't do this. See, back when we was in the old church, I've told this story a couple of times. You know, if you've ever been, those of you who have had kids or have kids and they're in kids' church, you've been to the old church then. That's the old church. That's the whole sanctuary. It was small. And we would make decisions based on the problem of being small. And then I began to say, we're not going to make decisions like that anymore. We're just going to do whatever God calls us to do, no matter how small our building is. But if you can change your focus, let me rephrase that. When you change your focus, you'll discover something bigger, larger, more robust than your trouble. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Psalms 9 and 9, write it down. I'm going to give you a couple of them. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in the time of trouble. Psalms 32 and 7. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from my trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalms 37 and 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Our problem, and here's what a buddy of mine, Jimmy Miller, said. Our problem is not the size of the problem. The problem is the size of our God. It's not the size of the problem. It's the size of what we view our God as. Oh, this is going to take me out. The devil is a liar. We are a new creation. We have been given the mind of Christ. We can think His thoughts and we can walk His ways. We simply need a renewed and engaged mind. And since we're in the Psalms, let me give you a few more. Let me give you a couple more tidbits. Then they cried out. Psalms 107 and 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. Psalms 107, 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Psalms 107, 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Psalms 107 and 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He brought them out of their distresses. Listen to me. If you lack proper focus, you cry about it. But if you have the proper focus, you cry out. You see the difference? Are you crying about it? Or are you crying out? Some of y'all need to get tired of being get sick and tired of crying about what you've been crying about. I'm tired of crying over that. That person ain't even worth crying over. Just get over it. Come on, somebody. Cry instead of crying about it, cry out unto the Lord. Psalms 42 and 5 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Why? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember You even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, and from the land of Mount Mizar. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Point number two, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. See, focus is the key, but don't stop believing. The key to achieving is believing. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. Believe that your God is smarter than your problem. Believe that your God is greater than your situation. Believe that your God is bigger than whatever it is that you're facing. Believe what is written and what He said to you. He said in Mark 9, 23, anything is possible with those that believe. Not all things indiscriminately. Faith always has respect to what is said or promised. See, you got to find some scriptures that talk about you. You got to find some that talk about you. God watches over His word to perform it. God is not a man that He should lie. If He said it, He will do it. If the promise has not been fulfilled, then the end is not yet. Keep on believing. See, Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. See, this is the complete package. Hook your heart to the promises, and then hook your mouth to the heart. Did you catch that? I said, hook your heart to the promise and then hook your mouth to your heart so that you don't speak what you see. Begin to speak what you know. Begin to speak what the word of the Lord says. Begin to speak it. Hook your mouth to your heart, and faith will move the mountains in your life. Oh, here comes another one. Are you ready? Point number three. Y'all ain't ready for this one. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to change. We cannot solve our problems. My God, somebody hear me. We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we had when we created them or when we encountered them. You got to change. How do I change? The word of God. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Trouble is an opportunity to re-examine, to remove, and to replace. Trouble is not the end of the road. It's a turn in the road. Well, I'm going to listen to this when I get done. It is not the end of the road. It is a turn in the road. I discovered a long time ago that people who are unteachable are unreachable, untouchable, and unchangeable. If you're not teachable, then you're not reachable, you're not changeable, and you think you're untouchable. I want it, but I want it my way. This ain't Burger King, baby. You can't have it your way. There is only one who is unchangeable because he requires no growth, he requires no maturity, and he requires no learning. The rest of us do. Had a guy came to my church one time, our church, and he had been at our church for a little while and he left, and then he came back. And here's what he said to me. He said, Pastor, I know you can't use me in this church because the board runs this church. You're going to think that. I said, why do you think the board runs this church? He said, well, because you don't use me and some of the board don't like me. I said, no. I said, are we friends? He said, yeah. Always a test. I said, then it's going to be a test of our friendship. I said, I don't use you because my elders don't like you. They don't get a say on who I use. They could tell me their opinion, but I use whom I please. That's not arrogant. That's just the way it is. I said, I use whom I please. I said, the why I don't use you is because you are unteachable. What do you mean I'm unteachable? I got the Holy Ghost. I don't need anybody to teach me. I go, yeah, right there. And I've never seen him back in our church again. Test of our friendship. Wasn't very deep or strong. If you want the trouble to end, then you need to be willing to change. Number four is this. Don't stop moving. Don't stop believing. Don't stop moving. Sometimes you are delivered from, and sometimes you're delivered through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm going through it. I'm going through it. Well, Pastor, what if I die? If I'm a saved, if I'm a child of God, I'm walking through it. When I die, we had Hope's funeral yesterday and her family being the 11 o'clock service. But if I'm walking through it, death is not the end of my life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. When I depart from this life, I arrive to my new life. Woo! So what do I got to be upset with the devil? What can the devil scare me with? Well, I'm going to kill you. Yea, though I walk through. I'm not going to be dead long. I'm just going to die. My last breath today will be my first breath with Jesus. When I depart here, I'll arrive over there. Glory to God. Matter of fact, Paul said, it's better for me to depart. I would rather be with Jesus, but it is good for me to be here. It's better for y'all, is what Paul said. It's better for y'all to be, for me to be here with y'all. But I would rather be over there with Jesus. Whether from whether God delivers you from or whether God delivers you through, you keep moving. Pastor, I just don't know how I'm going to get through today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this trouble. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving. Pastor, you don't understand. Maybe all you can do is crawl. But my God, just keep moving. Pastor, I want to lay down. Don't you lay down. Don't you stop. You keep moving. Because if you can believe it, you can achieve it. And if you can move, keep moving through it. Give a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. There is a hard lesson for me to learn here. But sometimes problems don't need solutions to solve. To solve them, but maturity to outgrow them. Boy, if this mic wasn't so expensive, I'd drop the mic and walk off the stage. I mean, you get this. Come on back and help me. Sometimes problems don't need solutions to solve them, but maturity to outgrow them. You ever look back on some of the problems you used to think you had? And they, psh, that ain't no trouble. That ain't no problem. I just got to outgrow them. Psalms 107:19 says, and then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I've learned when I am in uncomfortable situations, persistent problems and troublesome troubles that just won't go away. Here's what I pray. It's not an easy prayer. Lord, whatever you need me to do, or whatever you need to do to me or through me, I give you permission to do it. Help me to learn whatever lesson I need to learn, and learn it quickly. Some of us are hard-headed, and we can't pass the test because we won't change. So focus, believe, change, and move. Can I give you one last one? Shout like you've already won. Shout like you've already won. Come on, stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.